Turn back, if you would, to Isaiah 49. Not long ago, when we looked at the doctrine of Christ, I told you I hoped to preach the Word. And we looked at a lot of the Word, and that's what I hope to do again. I want to preach the Word tonight. I was so comforted by the Word itself. And so, I want to look at this, and we're going to read the Word. Isaiah 49, our text tonight, verse 13, begins with this word, sing. 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 It's a good thing. It is a good thing. Sing. I sing, for I cannot be silent. And His love is the theme of my song. Sing. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, look at verse 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. All those transgressions, they're gone. And as a cloud thy sins, return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I'm glad you chose that song. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing, you mountains, O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel. Sing. Sing. If we can get a hold of that and be reminded of that, we'll sing. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and look at verse 16. It says, it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She was a soothsayer, and people were in control of her, and she made them a lot of money. Verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, this woman cried, saying, these men are thy servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they couldn't make any more money on her. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Watch them hard. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks for preaching the truth. Verse 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. and the prisoners heard him. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his. Straightway they were all baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and he rejoiced. He rejoiced, believing in God with all his house, saying. Ask Paul and Silas, was it worth being beaten and thrown into prison for God to save a man and his whole house? Oh, sing. Our text in Isaiah 49 says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted." Verse 14 says, "But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." That's what I was saying in my heart recently. Oh no, that's not the outcome I wanted. The Lord has forgotten us. The Lord has forsaken us. Well, Zion, turned to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 18 says, "To whom then will you liken God? To whom then will you liken God?" Now look at verse 12. It says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?" Do you believe that? If God said it and wrote it, do you believe that he actually took the waters into the hollow of his hand and poured them into the earth? I do. "And metered out heaven with the span of your hand, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure." All the dust particles numbered. "And weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor hath taught him?" Who taught him? "With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment? And taught him knowledge? And showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance," just the leftover dust. "Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Not those little bitty isles down in the Caribbean that they really can't get on the map. The big isles, the continents. That's a small thing. Verse 16 says, "And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn." The cedars of Lebanon, those big huge cedars, the redwood forest, the cedars of Lebanon, that's not even sufficient to burn. "Nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing." Not only are they nothing, they're counted to him less than nothing. And their vanity is just a puff of smoke. That's all it is. "To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation or sacrifice chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing." These princes in this earth, he's going to bring them to nothing. "He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity." They're not in control of anything. "Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth." Well, you know, they're going to force this new health care plan on us. "Who is the keeper of my health? The great physician." Verse 27 says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest thou, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. He can't see me. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." There's nothing he doesn't know. Nothing. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord..." Oh, I'm anxious. This didn't turn out like I wanted to. And now, what am I going to do? I've got to change my health care plan. And now I'm going to have to do this. And now I've got to do that. And I've got to burn my birth certificate. And I've got to get rid of my Social Security. Wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." Wait on the Lord. Back in our text, Isaiah 49. That comforts me. Isn't that good? I'm not really saying anything. I don't really have anything to say. Our text, Isaiah 49, verse 13, says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Can she? Rita, can she? The answer is yes. It says in verse 15, "Yea, they may forget, but He said, I'm not going to. Yet will I not forget thee." It is possible for a woman to forget her natural born child. But He said, it's not physically possible for me to forget you. "Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." Verse 16 says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." Turn with me to John 20. John chapter 20. Look at verse 26. "And after 8 days again, His disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith He to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." He said, "Thomas, you see that right there? Touch it." Those scars that He received from the nails that were driven into His hands because of my sin and the sins of all His people, those scars are still there. They're still there. Every time He looks at His hands, He remembers His little ones. Every time. "I'll never forget you." That man, Ed Hale, wrote a song called, "I'll Be Looking for Scars Up in Heaven." Scars up in heaven. Scars that love held on the tree. Scars that turned judgment to mercy for a hell-deserving sinner like me. I've engraven them on the palms of my hands. Back to our text, Isaiah 49. Verse 16 says, "Behold," and I thought this was interesting. I looked up that word, and it does mean lo, behold, but it also means if. "If I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, thy walls are continually before me." Thy walls are continually before me. Now, what are our walls? Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 2. It's two books before Job. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah is before the king, Artaxerxes. In Nehemiah 2, verse 2 says, "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lies waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Verse 11 says, So I came to Jerusalem, and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Verse 17, Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Now go to chapter 4, verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. We built half the wall back. For the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Verse 13, Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall. And on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. Verse 15, And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, and the habergeons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had a sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Thy walls are continually before me. What our God is saying to us in our text is, your defense and your safety is continually in the front of my mind. I heard a message one time by Brother Henry Mahan on God's guardian angels. Oh, man. He said, when you're driving down the road, they're sitting on the hood of your car. When you walk up to their house, they're sitting on your front porch. Your defense and your safety. I thought about, who was it, Elijah? Or he prayed that his servant would see what he saw because they'd come to take him. Lord, open his eyes. And when he opened up, he saw chariots of fire and flaming swords. Your defense and your safety's in the front of my mind. Priority number one. Isn't that comforting? Thy walls are continually before me. What are our walls? Turn with me to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be with thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Our Lord is saying in our text, your peace with God is continually in the front of my mind. Continually. In the world, there is no peace. They're trying to make peace when there is no peace. Look over here and there's nothing but trouble. Look over there and there's nothing but sorrow. Look within and there's nothing but fear. Look without and there's nothing but worry. Look up. Peace. Total peace. Peace with God. Your peace is continually before me. What are our walls? Go with me to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 verse 1 says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. My margin right there in verse 4 says, for the Lord Jehovah is the rock of ages. Trust in the Lord. He's appointed salvation for walls. Your salvation is continually in the front of my mind. Rock of ages, cliff for me. Let me hide myself in thee. What do our walls? Go to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 15. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I'll bring silver. For wood, brass, and for stones, iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thy exactors righteousness. I'm going to put peace and righteousness over you. Verse 18 says, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. Our Lord says, Zion, my chosen, mine elect, your eternal excellency. That's talking about our eternal home. Is continually in the front of my mind. Look, it's across my page, Isaiah 62, verse 5. As a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I've set a watchman upon thy walls. If I could afford it, I would hire a bodyguard for her. I'd put a watchman on our walls. God can. And He has. What is our defense? What is our safety? What is our peace? What is our salvation? And what is our eternal excellency? The answer is, it is not a what, it's a who. Who is our wall? Go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4 verse 1 says, After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. This one who sits on the throne looks like jasper. I saw him, and this is what he looked like, jasper. Now turn to Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 17 says, this is heavenly Jerusalem. Verse 17 says, And he measured the wall. He measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper. That's what the wall's made out of. He that sits on the throne looks just like jasper. And the whole wall is made out of jasper. The Lord Jesus Christ is our defense. He's our maker, our defender, our redeemer, and our friend. He's our safety, our peace, our salvation, our eternal excellency. Now turn back to our text and I'll close. Isaiah 49... Verse 17 says, Thy children shall make haste. That word translates builders. Thy builders are going to come and make haste. I know you're broken down. I know you're broken down. I know you're hurting. But thy builders are going to make haste. The Lord said, The Spirit of the Lord God hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. But He said, Thy builders are going to make haste. It says, Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Don't let them get you down. This is not our place. We have here no continuing city. It's not our place. Don't let them get you down. Vengeance is mine. They shall soon be cut down like the grass. So sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted His people, and He will have mercy upon His afflicted. I hope the Lord will bless His word to our heart. Let's stand together.